Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It happened during one of the worst storms I've ever driven through in my life. I was working late that night, trying to squeeze in one more Uber Eats delivery before heading home. The app rerouted me down a back road somewhere near rural Pennsylvania. No street lights, barely any signal, just miles of cracked asphalt and thick trees clawing at the sides. The rain started coming down sideways, and thunder was booming so loud it felt like it was rattling my bones. I could barely see through the windshield, even with the wipers going full blast. When the GPS froze and the phone blinked off, I panicked and looked for shelter to pull over and wait it out. That's when I saw a small, rotting wooden structure just off the road. It looked like a shed, maybe a barn. I didn't care. I pulled in beside it, killed the engine, and ran through the storm toward the only dry spot for miles. The second I stepped inside, I knew something was off. The smell of wet hay, mold, and something else, like decay, hit my nostrils. The air felt thick, almost difficult to breathe. The inside of the shed was dark except for the occasional flicker of lightning slicing through the gaps in the wood. I flicked my lighter to see around a little more clearly, and I almost had a heart attack. Someone was inside the barn already. Who's there? An old woman hunched over in the corner, scattering handfuls of moldy oats on the dirt floor. She wore a ripped shawl over her shoulders, soaked and clinging to her skin. Her gray hair hung in tangled ropes down her back. I nearly jumped. Sorry, I said. I'm just taking shelter for a few minutes. I'll leave once the rain eases up. She didn't look at me. She just kept mumbling.
The horses hate going hungry.
I glanced around. The shed was empty. No animals, no stalls, no hay bales. But the floor was covered in deep, fresh-looking hoof prints. Some still had water pooling in them, like they'd been made just minutes ago. But there were no horses. I told myself maybe this woman was just mentally unwell, maybe a squatter. I decided to stay near the entrance and not get involved. That's when she started coughing. Not a normal cough, something wet and gagging. She dropped to her knees, clutching her throat. Ma'am? I took a step forward, unsure what to do. Are you feeling all right? She continued coughing. She could barely speak. Just when I thought she was going to faint, she started pulling something from her mouth. It was long, black hair, strand after strand, like it had been stuffed deep inside her throat. Her eyes welled up with tears as she gagged and whispered.
They said I was possessed. I was just sick.
Her body convulsed once, twice, then everything stopped. She slowly turned her head toward me, and I swear to God her eyes rolled back completely white, and her voice, it wasn't hers anymore. It was as if something else was speaking within her.
You brought them back.
Her jaw slowly stretched to a wide hollow, and I screamed into the night. The shed groaned as thunder cracked overhead. I didn't wait to understand what she meant. I turned and sprinted into the storm, not even looking back. I jumped in my car, fumbled with my keys, and peeled off that property like my life depended on it. It probably did. Even after getting home, I couldn't shake it. The voice, the hair, the hoof prints. I kept thinking about what she said.
They said I was possessed.
I spent half the night looking it up. The shed, I learned, was part of an abandoned property tied to a story from 1994. A woman had lived there, young, schizophrenic, reportedly hearing voices and harming herself. Her family didn't trust doctors. Instead, they called in a group of rogue priests to perform an exorcism. It got out of hand. They tied her to a wooden beam and beat her with Bibles, starved her, and forced her to drink holy water until she choked. They said she was possessed by demons. She died 3 days later, bruised, broken, and disfigured. There were photos from the police investigation. One of them showed her body. Her face was smeared with moldy oats. After that, no one touched the property. Locals say her spirit still fed the horses. Sometimes, if you got close enough, you would see hoof prints circling the shed, but you would never see any actual horses. They said anyone who heard her say,
"The horses are hungry,"
would eventually start hearing it too. That line chilled me, because she didn't just say it once. When I tried to sleep that night, every time thunder rumbled outside, I swear I heard a dull clop, clop, clop coming from my driveway. The next day, I went to check my car, and there were muddy hoof prints on the hood. I moved apartments within a week, threw out the car, and changed numbers. I don't drive Uber Eats anymore, but occasionally, when it rains, really rains, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and smell oats. Wet, rotting oats. And faintly, just faintly, I'll hear them. Clop. Clop. She wasn't feeding imaginary horses. She was keeping them from starving. I drive for Uber Eats to help pay the bills. Most deliveries are boring. Drive, drop off, smile. But what happened on a Thursday night downtown changed me forever. It started like any other delivery, a double cheeseburger meal to an apartment in a rundown building on the edge of the city. It was the kind of place that had damp walls and peeling wallpaper. As I walked up the narrow stairwell, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. Something about the quiet was wrong. Still, I knocked on the door. The guy who opened it barely cracked it an inch. I only saw part of his face. Thin, pale skin stretched tight over sharp cheekbones with acne all over. He had no eyebrows, a bulbous bald head, and gloomy eyes that looked like he was suffering from some disease. "Here's your order, sir." He snatched the bag from my hand and looked inside to check something. Then he looked up at me with an expressionless face and hissed,
"You forgot the sauce!"
I checked the receipt, no mention of extra sauce. "Sorry, I can check my car really quick. Maybe it fell out." He didn't respond and slammed the door in my face. I turned and headed down the hallway. That's when I felt a jab in my lower back, and everything went black. I woke up in a bathtub. The cold porcelain brushed against my skin as I tried to move. My ankles were zip-tied, wrists bound in front. The room stank of mildew and metal. My face felt sticky, like something had been applied to it. When I looked in the mirror above the tub, I almost screamed. Someone had smeared sauce across my face like war paint. It was a mix of ketchup, mustard, and something else. I started panicking because everything about my situation screamed death.
"Hello? Anyone here? What's happening?"
My screams were interrupted by a distant humming. It was off-key and tuneless. All of a sudden, the bathroom door creaked open and the man stood there, holding a large kitchen knife in one hand and a rusted meat cleaver in the other. He wore a plastic apron and that same blank expression. Sharpening the knives by rubbing them against each other, he spoke to me.
"Rise and shine, slow cooked or raw, you decide."
He set the knives on a towel beside the tub and walked to a nearby counter where I saw cleaning supplies. There were bottles of drain cleaner, bleach, and ammonia resting on the counter. My mind raced. Was he going to eat me? He kept talking as he paced, humming and muttering. Whatever he said made no sense. One moment he spoke about people always rushing food, never appreciating flavor. And the next he ranted about his mother and how she made him eat cold meals.
"It's time to fix things now. I've been dreaming about this moment for so long. The feeling of harvesting fresh meat and then savoring it. Yum."
He was salivating while speaking. In my mind, my gut whispered,
"Get out or he's going to kill you."
I shifted, slowly testing the zip ties. My left foot was a little loose, but without freeing my hands, I could do nothing. Suddenly, my eyes spotted the acid drain cleaner. Thick red lettering, heavy duty. If I could just get to it. He leaned over to look at my face.
You got nice skin. Your skin would crisp up really well in the oven.
I believe this was my only opportunity. I faked a sob and leaned toward him, making it seem like I was breaking down.
Please let me go. You don't want to do this.
He crouched beside me, savoring the moment. His shoulders trembled as he laughed silently, but he had no idea what I was going to do next. I yanked my legs free from the zip ties and kicked the man in the chest. He stumbled back, just far enough. I rolled onto my side, got up by supporting myself on the wall, and grabbed the bottle with my bound hands. With all the strength I had, I twisted the cap with my mouth. My lips burned from touching the acid, but I didn't care.
What are you doing? You can't get out!
He was about to lunge at me holding the knife when I splashed the drain cleaner, aiming for his face.
Ow! It burns! It burns!
The scream was unlike anything I'd ever heard. He clawed at his eyes, dropping the knife. I scrambled to my knees, slipping on the tiled floor as I saw blistering skin on his cheek. I bolted from the tub. I was set to make a run when he grabbed me by the shoulder and turned me to face him. Half of his face was melted, with his skeleton peering from underneath. But he couldn't hold on to me due to the pain. I freed my hands using the meat cleaver and ran down the hallway. The front door had two deadbolts, but only one was locked. Despite my fumbling fingers, I managed to open it. I ran barefoot into the street, waving my arms like a lunatic. A gas station clerk across the block saw me and ran out. I collapsed in front of him, sobbing, still smeared in sauce, zip-tied, with blisters around my mouth. The clerk took me to the hospital, where they also called the cops. I told them every single detail I could remember about the man. The police found him hours later, half-conscious, face ruined, still muttering about seasoning. His apartment had a fridge filled with meat, and it wasn't just from animals. I quit Uber Eats after that. I can't even walk into a fast food joint without breaking into a sweat. Every so often, when I close my eyes, I still hear his voice. I often get nightmares where I see him next to my bed, wearing the plastic apron splattered in blood, holding two knives and sharpening them by rubbing them together. He grins ear to ear and then asks,
"Slow cooked or raw? You decide."
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
It was a rainy Thursday night, the kind where thunder rumbled through the windows and the lights flickered just enough to make you uneasy being home alone. I'd been living alone for years now, renting this one-bedroom house a bit outside the city. I had just finished preparing dinner when I received the notification. Your Uber Eats driver is on his way. I assumed it was a mix-up or that someone nearby had typed the wrong address. Still, I locked my door and waited. I thought I'd politely decline the delivery and the driver would understand. 2 minutes later, a car pulled up. It was an ancient white sedan, not the usual Uber Eats vehicle. The individual who stepped out didn't quite seem like a delivery guy. He had no uniform or badge. Seeing him in a soaking brown hoodie and jeans soiled at the knees sent me into alert mode. But when I noticed his hands, I saw he was carrying the iconic brown paper Uber Eats bag. He rang the doorbell. I opened the door just slightly, without letting my guard down.
Sorry, but I haven't ordered anything. I think you got the wrong house.
You sure? He questioned,
his grin making my skin crawl. It's already paid for. I just need to come in and set things up for you.
No, thank you.
I said hastily, closing the door. Through the peephole, I watched him stroll slowly back to his car, but he didn't leave right away. He stood beside the car, staring at my house in the rain for at least 7 minutes before finally driving off. Breathing a sigh of relief, I told myself I needed to stop overthinking everything. Fast forward 2 hours, I was lying on my bed, watching my favorite YouTuber, IMR Scary Tales, when I heard glass shatter in the kitchen. I thought I'd check it out, but almost immediately I heard footsteps in the hallway. I locked my door and backed cautiously into my bedroom, my heart thumping. I slid beneath the bed, trying to calm my breathing. The footsteps were heavy, wet, and slow. I was shaking, wondering who it could be, when I heard the intruder speaking to himself in the dimly lit hallway. Gotta feed her. She needs to eat proper. Peeking through the keyhole, I saw it was the Uber Eats driver. He still carried the brown paper bag. The hallway light buzzed, flicking with every gust of wind battering the house. He was standing maybe 10 feet from my door, completely drenched, his soaked hoodie clinging to his gaunt frame. His head tilted like a confused animal, staring at the brown paper bag as if it were alive. Then, without a word, he reached inside. What he pulled out made my stomach drop. It was a sloppy, dark red blob, something that looked like pounded flesh. Entrails hung from it like ribbons, veins, bits of fur, maybe a tail. It reeked even through the keyhole. He raised it gently in both hands like a gift and whispered, "She needs to feed." Then he began walking toward my bedroom door. His steps were slow but deliberate, making sticky, squelching sounds on the wooden floor. A trail of blood followed him, dripping steadily from his hand. As he got closer, I could see it clearly. Matted fur stuck to what looked like a dead animal, maybe a cat. Its face was crushed in. He paused outside the door, then started kicking it. The door shuddered violently. I let out a gasp I couldn't hold back.
"I said you need to feed!"
he shrieked, his voice cracking like a child's tantrum. He pounded with his fists, rattling the knob, screaming and howling. I grabbed my phone with trembling hands and dialed 911, whispering in a frantic rush.
"Someone's in my house. He broke in. He's trying to get into my room. He's not normal. He's..."
Suddenly, the lock gave way with a loud pop. The door slammed open so hard it dented the wall, and there he stood, eyes wide with feverish excitement. Teeth stained, the rotten mess still in his hands. I tried to run, but he was too fast. He grabbed my hair and yanked me backward so hard I hit the ground with a thud. I screamed and flailed, but he straddled me, forcing the cold, furry mass into my mouth. It tasted like rot, bile, and cat fur. I could feel the texture against my tongue, the bones, the matted whiskers, and something sharp that cut the inside of my cheek. I vomited all over the floor, choking and gasping. He clapped like a child at a birthday party, laughing with glee.
"She ate it! She did!"
I sobbed and spat fur and blood onto the ground as he knelt beside me. His eyes were huge and glassy, lost in a world of their own.
"Uber Eats fired me," he muttered. "Said I was too slow, that I couldn't finish deliveries. So now I deliver personally. No one goes hungry if I can help it."
His smile dropped and he started reaching into the bag again. I don't know what came over me, but adrenaline kicked in. I sprinted into the bathroom and slammed the door shut, locking it just as he began pounding on it again.
"Let me in! You haven't finished your meal!"
he screamed. I backed into the corner, holding a curling iron like a weapon. The cops were on their way. They had to be. Within minutes, I could hear sirens. The man must have heard them too, because the pounding stopped. When the officers finally broke down the front door and found me, shaking in the bathroom, I ran into their arms, sobbing. But the man was gone.
The only signs of his presence were the muddy footprints leading from the shattered kitchen window. He had entered through it earlier, shards of glass scattered across the floor. On the kitchen counter sat the same brown paper bag. Inside it was another offering, the rotting body of a dead possum, twisted like roadkill, with a fork stabbed through its back. I don't live alone anymore. I moved cities and got a roommate, and even then, I still sleep with a bat next to my bed. Every time I hear a knock at the door or the chime of a food delivery notification, I freeze.